How you been anyway?
Good man. Well, like everyone else, really.
I said like everyone
Like,
else.
I saw the one with Jojo yesterday. It was really funny, but exactly everything you said, really. Like, just, what do you want to do? Like, we definitely probably gonna be the last people to work. So
Yeah, definitely. Like, clubbing's gonna be the last thing back.
there's nothing we can do. So, and then you don't know. Like, some if you start listening and reading what everyone says, like, it can open in a month, but it can open also next year. So you don't know. Like, no one knows. So
Well, how you been keeping yourself busy during quarantine? What you been doing?
a lot of things, but music, really, which is a bit weird. Yeah, like, so obviously I didn't stay in London for the quarantine lockdown
Yeah.
because I have a dog and stuff, and I have a flat in London, and I still went to be in the countryside. So we came here to my girlfriend's house in the countryside. So it's way better because, you can just, like, go walk around and
Just
stuff,
chill.
which you could. But yeah, we just keep busy, like DIY and shit like that. But
You're taking up new
just,
hobbies now.
yeah, I mean, it's
You're taking up new hobbies, bro. Are you been
new
cooking?
skill, yeah, so much. But just like new skills, it's just like, yeah, because I thought of this a lot, and like I actually bought some Pioneer stuff to DJ, but like I've actually never owned like a piece of equipment before this.
Okay.
So I mean, I don't and I asked, that's probably something that I need to work on, is I need more content. I don't do enough content, but like I don't see myself just plugging everything and starting playing bangers. That I really struggle to do this. I can't play it for. I need people in front of me, basically. I don't know how to explain, but I very struggle with the energy. I don't seem I when I'm home, I don't listen to what I DJ in club, basically.
So what'd you listen
So
to at
it's
home then?
like a lot of more cool stuff, more chilled. But I'm preparing like some sort of like playlist mix out of like a lot of chill songs, like summery songs. I've got one which is gonna be only London artists, but
So
yeah, like
you don't have any equipment, so what you literally all you do is just turn up to the club with the laptop and what you got? Sorry, box as well or
I'm on the USBs.
USBs, okay.
So that already, like, I mean, when I'm in the club and you've got all the American DJs are coming and they see me on USBs, they're like, what's this? Like, do you know what I mean? They're like,
Old
what?
school, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was on Serato before moving to London, and then when I came here, it was like, because at first I didn't start doing nights by myself, so there was always someone before me, and then or someone with me, and then when you arrive with your laptop and there's another DJ with a laptop, it's been always a mess.
So do
So
you
I
prefer
started using,
USB anyway, like in terms of
yeah.
mixing wise?
I started using USBs, and then I really liked him, and I never moved from it since then. I'm like
Everyone,
Scotty.
everyone's asking. I've already got questions about Jamie Foxx. I was gonna come on to that title later. But yeah,
that was wicked.
so going to your career now. So like, take me through your journey. How did everything start for you?
I'm very different than probably like everyone else, like around, like other people that you've interviewed. Like, I've basically, I'm from Corsica, so a small island like in the Mediterranean, and so there's not very a big club scene, there's not very a big music culture scene. It's a very small island, 300,000 people living on it. You get the idea. So I started just doing it for fun, very interested into it since I was quite young. So I was like 16, 17. I was like stuck behind the DJ booth when going out, like instead of partying, really. And I started doing it like that. I was like sort of helping, like small summer club, doing the lights, and then taking over when the DJ wasn't there. Even though I never had any equipment, I literally learned there, really, on it, really.
Okay.
And yeah, I started DJing there in the winter. So you got the winter time and the summertime. Sometimes it gets very busy with tourists. And I started DJing in the winter for a cool bar. For like people that were way older than me, so I've really like improved a lot of my my musical knowledge there because I was playing everything. I was playing soul, funk, hip hop, rock, everything.
Yeah.
But very like back catalog stuff and like very like independent stuff. So it was very cool. And from then I got a job in a very, very big club in the south of the island, which is a big summer club, international club, of like 3,000 people.
Okay.
A very big club. And so yeah, they open June to September basically, and they book like all the biggest like international artists. So I get my I get the job there to DJ. So the club is massive. When you come in, you got a restaurant.
Yeah.
So I was DJing inside the restaurant, doing like some sort of lounge playlist, you know?
Okay.
And but for me, I hated like the lounge term was like music that you hear in the lift, you know? I hated that. So I was really mixing up things, and I already started there like DJing a lot of like I was DJing some like Frank Ocean stuff. The Weeknd.
So what type of music did you grow up to and start DJing to?
My passion of music and DJing came with I'd say the second wave of the French Dutch house music.
Okay.
So all the, you know, like Daft Punk, Justice, all the, you know what I mean? Like all this vibe there. So I was very into this, all the electro house.
Yeah.
And all the house. So when I moved to London, I was mainly a house DJ, really.
Okay.
So, and since when I was to that big club, I was always into the hip hop culture with the clothes and everything, but never DJ. For me, the club music was house.
Yeah.
I listened to hip hop in my car, in my house, but for me, the club was like Master at Work, Kerry Chandler, like very like house music. And I started then when I was doing the lounge playing, like, I remember it was like the Tech Care album for Drake. So I started playing like back catalog song from this album, The Weeknd, Frank Ocean, and I really enjoyed him. And then so I was doing the lounge my first year, 2012, and obviously my set was finishing around 2 o'clock, and then the club was going on from 2 till 6.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't just gonna go to bed. Like I was staying there every night. So every night you had like all the biggest like EDM artists. Like we had like Swedish House Mafia, David Guetta, Bob Sinclair, everyone. I remember like one of the resident DJ there was already a guy that was very like in the London Western scene.
Yeah.
French guy that was working in the London scene. He was DJing at the Movida at the time, Cercle Soir already. And that club that I was DJing had a contract with Cercle Soir.
Okay.
So Cercle Soir was coming like once in a month, I think, something like that. And so that's how I started being friends with everyone there, like with the resident DJ there, and obviously the resident DJ of the club I was DJing plus the resident DJ of Cercle Soir. They were both French. And so that my first year was in 2012, and in between the two seasons, in the winter, I started going to London once a month.
Okay.
But like I was paying my own tickets and stuff, and like. It was very expensive because obviously, like where I'm from, there's no direct flight. You have to fly to France, then fly to London. So I was going once a month with that guy that was the resident DJ at the club, Dove. I started going to Cirque. So I went Cirque winter between 2012 2013, and that was like at that time Cirque in London was like on a Monday was like the biggest party ever. It was like. From 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock, it was giant bottle show every 5 minutes. It was just like, it would be a club, you would have like Rick Ross just popping in like that, like taking the mic and starting singing. You'd be like, whoa, what's going on? Like, so
yeah, Cirque is one of those clubs where it's just a madness. Like, it's just mad.
I was very impressed. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And obviously, like, I saw this guy that was like DJing on USBs or so, and like, spinning so many hip hop tunes, and I was like, "Whoa, this is actually sick!" Like, actually, like that's probably the first time I was like, "I really like this." And I did my second season at the summer club.
Yeah.
And there, like, a lot of things, like basically, like the big resident DJ would tell me, like, you will have parties with like LMFAO and stuff like that. and when they finish their set, I probably 4:30, but the club is still packed, 3,000 people, and a lot of time the guy would say, okay, when they finish, you taking over. So I ended up DJing after guys like Bob Sinclair, like Martin Solveig, like guys like that, which was amazing to learn, like to learn a lot how to vibe with a crowd and stuff, because you, it's the hardest time when the headliners go away and you start after him. It's like you can't do like one mistake. If you do one mistake, everyone's out.
Everyone, yeah.
Everyone's looking at you like that. So yeah, that was very like I learned a lot then. I learned a lot of things about DJing.
So that, from that time. First from you doing the monthly Cirque du Soir stuff, that's how you kind of
I wasn't DJing though. I was just like visiting. I was like, wow, I was just that like a kid.
So how did you start DJing? How did you start DJing there?
So basically, in that second season, the resident DJ from Cirque du Soir was coming every month in other club I was DJing, and he said to me, "Luke, like, I'm gonna have a spare room in. I really wanted to go to London to live in London.
Yeah,
it was like, look, I'm gonna have a spare room, and if you want to take it, you have to take it out. Like, and I remember he had a spare room in like it was very central. It was like in Baker Street, London, and I had to take it in June, when my season in the summer club was starting. So basically, I took the flat and I paid June, July, August, September of the rent every month without being there. And then I moved to London on the 1st of October, 2013. Okay. So I moved in London. I had literally no money at all because all my money that I made in the summer went into the rent.
Okay.
So that was tough. And then obviously, the thing that really helped me is that I moved in a house with like two other DJs that were really like into the West End scene. So that really, really helped me because obviously as I was coming, they were like creating new parties and stuff.
Mm.
So for me, it was like...
So that's kind of how you got into the West End scene, which was like just connections and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. 100%. That really, really helped me. I always say I'm so lucky. I was so lucky about this to connect the right people that really, really helped me.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I would have no chance because I can't just come in London and be like, "Hi, I've been DJing in this summer club. Like, let me play." They would have just looked at me and be like, "Well, we don't know what that is like."
Mm.
So yeah, I started doing like I remember like he was booking me sometimes like a Friday at Cirque du Soir, and then sometimes a Saturday. And I started doing every Saturdays at the Cuckoo Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was dope because I did it for like almost 2 years.
Okay.
Saturday. And this is so, and when I moved to London, it opened my eyes by a lot of music thing, because obviously where I'm from, as I said, there's not a big music culture. There's not that many things. So when I arrived here, I started going to a lot of like house and techno raves, like listening a lot, buying a lot of vinyls and stuff like that. And that theory that I had of being like, oh yeah, clubs should be house. It sort of took me over of what I was meant to do. And I started really like hating playing hip hop in clubs.
Yeah.
That was like 2015. I really, really didn't enjoy it at all. So I started like trying to do a house, very like underground house party in West End. Mm-hmm. So I was going out in like half-baked parties and stuff on Sunday in East London. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try and do this in West End, which is the most stupid idea ever.
I was gonna say, did that work?
No, it didn't work at all. It didn't work at all. I've lost time, energy, money. It was the worst idea ever. Because at that time, there was people doing house party, deep house party in West End, but it wasn't real deep house party. It was just like, people that knew a lot of rich spenders that would just bring there, so they got booked to DJ. It wasn't for the music, really.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the thing of like, oh, I'm gonna take drugs and pretend I love house music, which for me is not. Like, I never took drugs. Like I just love the music, you know. So
when did you start kind of getting passed around the different clubs then? Like, when did you start doing tape and rain and...
So basically, I think it was 2000 and, 2016. So by that time I was trying to do the house party. I still had my Monday residency at Cercle Soir, because the resident DJ had the Money Club in Mykonos.
Okay.
So it was very nice to leave it to me. And I was still DJing house, because Cercle Monday before was like house music from 11 to 1.
Yeah.
And then from 1 to the end, it was hard hip hop. So I was still doing the house and stuff, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. And then I ended up having only that gig, really, because the other club wouldn't book me, because obviously I was really trying to play some house when everyone wanted hip hop. But which was weird, because I would still listen a couple of hip hop tunes at home, but not what the club was offering. And then at that time, 2016, a lot of new hip hop came out.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really enjoyed all the new movement, the sort of SoundCloud rappers, because like back in 2012, when I tried to really like improve my musical knowledge, I was hunting on SoundCloud. Back when SoundCloud wasn't made to hunt new music, I was always on it.
Okay.
I really like loved that wave of the SoundCloud rappers and all of that. And I remember this promoter when Tape opened, had a Thursday night party at Tape on a Thursday. Now it's not even open on a Thursday. And he was like, "Luke, I want to book you there." And at that time, I had no gigs. And I was like, "You know what? I'm going to go with this. Like, I'm going to give it a go.
Get thrown in the deep end.
And I'm going to give it a go." And then I really enjoyed him.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. And from then on, it just took over, because I started doing so many. Because I got lucky. Like, I started doing gigs where I ended up sort of at the right place at the right time. I was DJing on a Monday at Cirque, and then all of a sudden they booked Travis Scott. And he doesn't have the DJ, so I'm DJing tunes for Travis Scott, then Post Malone. Then Tape start to really get big, and I start... They have Drake, like they have Migos, like I DJ nights where I'm DJing, and all of a sudden Skepta comes in a club, DJing the after party. It's a bit of like being in the right place at the right time, but at the same time I was really enjoying it. So
yeah,
I guess there was these two, and yeah, since then it just took over, and then since then I didn't have time to do house.
Do you ever get worried about your residencies being taken or your sets being taken?
Well, I guess you get worried about this on a general time, because you can be in and out very quick, really.
Yeah.
But then these are very special times. Like, you can't really guess, because a lot of clubs are probably going to play safe when things are reopening. Maybe someone gonna want some to change everything.
Do you think the West End in particular are just gonna be safe with it?
I guess so, because you know, West End, they have each club has their own customers. Like me, I've been doing the Tuesdays at Tape for almost 3 years now, and now every Tuesday there's a lot of customers that I actually personally know them. Because seeing them, I do Monday night at Cirque and Tuesday night at Tape, and a lot of big customers come from the Monday and the Tuesday, so they're sort of like you kind of get friends after with them. So what I'm seeing is that they have their customers that know the DJ, they know all the waiters. Like, I don't think they're gonna do like a turnover.
See, I wish I had that money that I was well known in Tape. Like, I don't even think I could get into Tape right now. Like, I gotta wait another 10 years for that to get a bottle show there, man.
It's like these things are ridiculous.
Like, what do you think of that, the whole pricing situation of West End? Like, do you see yourself ever going to, like, not DJing, just ever going to Tape buying bottles there? Do you ever see yourself doing that?
No, because it's not what I like. It's not what I would do.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't mind going. If I go to, I mean, people say the pricing, yeah, it's very expensive. But if you go to a club in Ibiza, and then if you go too high, a bottle of water is 30 euros or something like that.
Yes, 12, 30, or something like that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's as ridiculous as this. So I mean, after you see people, that of course just.
I mean, after this period, I'm a bit scared to go into the West End, bro. Like, I'm like, how much are they gonna charge now? Are they gonna have to reduce it, or are they gonna go more expensive?
I've actually thought of this. I don't know, because they can't just play silly and be, oh, now we're gonna charge tons of money.
Mm.
But at the same time, they can't charge nothing either.
But the thing is, what I was saying to Jojo as well, like, you see, like, obviously, Tape, yeah.
Jojo knows a lot. Jojo knows a lot about money, you know.
But like, I said, like, the clientele for Tape, right, is a lot of footballers, the Arabics, Russians, blah, blah, blah. So are these lot actually going to come back? That's the thing, after this period.
Well, ultimately, everyone wants to go to clubs.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, a lot of people want to go out. That's will always be like that. This is not, clubs won't close because of this. And if they close, they're going to reopen in another name and other people, bro, they will still be there.
Yeah.
Because you never stop people to go and party. West End is a scene, we all know what scene it is. It's a lot of big spenders and all of that. But it's like that in a lot of places. But I guess that, no, these people will come back. They will come back.
Well, because, you hope so.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I've seen, like, now I've been DJing in Western for almost 7 years. So,
yeah.
Like, I've seen people that I was seeing coming before spending a lot of money that don't do it anymore. But then their place been taken over by some other people, you know? You see waves of them too, you know. It's like everything. The people that are gonna say, "Oh, I'm not coming anymore," there's gonna be someone that gonna come and is gonna do the work too. So it's like for everything, no one is unreplaceable, basically.
So, in your opinion, what makes a good DJ?
I'd say 80% is the selection, mostly in clubs like this. Mostly in clubs like this. After you've got so many layers and so many like different type of jobs inside the being a DJ, because you've got headliners, whether if they're DJ house or techno or EDM or hip hop or whatever, that get booked for festival to DJ an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do selection for an hour. You don't go an hour and read the crowd. It's impossible.
Yeah,
you've got a pre-selection, man, that you just play what you want to play, and because you've got this song and this song. Then you've got the sort of club residencies where you DJ from 11 to 3. And then that's a different job. That's a totally different job. It's that you got to read the people. You got to take them where you want. But then you got to also play stuff for you, that you, or not ultimately for you, but for like them to discover. Or you've heard something, you know, oh, I like that song, I'm going to play it, see if people react to it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of layer to it. Like me, as I always say to, like, when I talk with other DJs in the West End stuff, I'm weird, like, I'm different because I wasn't a hip-hop DJ, as I said, so I don't even know how to scratch.
Yeah.
I don't scratch. I don't, but what I've figured out is that, I don't know if it's a London stuff, I think it's, for me, it's the London stuff, is that people here in clubs...
No one cares.
No one cares. And furthermore, they will probably get annoyed.
Yeah.
Of a DJ that just scratches on top of a track every time.
Yeah, like, definitely, because it ruins the flow, right? Like, unless you're very good and you've got a routine that makes it good in the club...
Yeah, then... you can have routines, but don't do it every two tracks. Don't do a routine.
Yeah.
Do one, two in the night. But even then, some people won't even... You will get your own routine, your own wordplay or something, but some people might even not. Unless it's very obvious,
they might not even realise it. Yeah.
They won't get it. The way you bring it, and
sorry,
by
bro.
That I don't mean the technique, I mean...
Sorry. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, sorry.
And the way you bring it, I mean, like, I don't mean the way you DJ, but the way, like, there's tracks that will do more damage when they play at 2 a.m. than when they play at 1 a.m. or something like that. So that's what you need to know. And then you need to read the crowd, obviously. But that's like, you can't teach this. You can't go to a school to read a crowd. You can go to school or whatever. You can teach yourself in your room to beat match or to scratch or something. But you can't
Do you prefer the residencies or the guest slots? So the 1 hour or 2 hour slots?
No. I hate any 1 hour slot. I never do that.
Mm.
It's just it's pointless. It's just like there's no point to it.
Yeah.
I grew up and I learned DJing on warm ups. Mm-hmm. For me, warm ups is like, it's amazing. And even still now, when I go to DJ at Circle, I go to DJ at Tape, and my favorite bit is the warm up.
Yeah.
I do my own warm up, but I love, like, because the warm up is the time that you can actually, I play a lot of new stuff. Like, the warm up mm-hmm. is the time that I'm going to play a couple of tracks that I know that in 2 months' time, I'm going to play them peak time.
Yeah. So you kind of tease it there. So like, if people are reacting to it, you'd be like, okay, I'm playing this next week then on the primetime set.
Yeah, and you can also please yourself, play stuff that you've heard that the day before and you loved. You can play, like, you can please a couple of customers that you know what they like.
Yes,
and you can build also. You put the foundation of what you're gonna do really, and that's so important and it's so interesting to do. You like, it's like.
Mm.
Building a house, you know.
So I'm gonna ask you this as well. Do you think that the bottle kind of services and everything like that take away the passion and love for the music in a club? And what's your kind of take on the whole bottle service thing? You know, when people ask for this request during the service or whatever.
Well, this again, you can see two ways. There is, you can still go to parties where you're gonna hear the music that is played, for example, on a Tuesday at Tape, which is all the new hip-hop and all of that.
Yeah.
You can go to a party like that probably in East London or something, where you're just going to pay your, I don't know, like £15 ticket, £20 ticket entry, and then that's it. You don't have to ban bottles, or there's no tables or things like that. But then the West End is always been like that, and you always be, because it's... That's what the customers want. They want to, they're in central London, you know, they want to park their big Mercedes car or their Ferrari or whatever outside the club. It's a whole atmosphere. It's a whole experience, you know, it's a lot of things together. It's like the thing of, oh, wow, I'm on a table and then table next to me, there's this celebrity or this footballer or, then that's it. Then the bottle show is me. I moved to London in 2013, and I was straight away. I was thrown into Cirque du Soir, and at that time, 2013, Cirque du Soir. Trust me.
I heard that the bottle shows back then were better than this. Like, than nowadays, more people are buying bottles back then.
Bro, past 1 o'clock, from one to 2:30, I would probably do 25 bottle show.
That's a 25.
It was 20, it was ridiculous. It was like you have like the waiter waving the sparkler to you, like, shh, go on, next track, bam, bam, bam. And then often they would choose a track.
Do you get annoyed with that?
I've learned how to not caring really. Like, because as long as there's often it's decent. Often it's a decent hip-hop song.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, for example, on a Tuesday night at Tape, I know it's all the Lil Baby's Gunna, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then you get the odd one. You get like one Arabic song or whatever. But if I play an Arabic song and then there's 20 bottles that go across the room with sparklers on, people understand that it's for the bottles. They're not gonna stare at you and be like, oh, what the hell are you doing? So from that point of view, there's no problem for me. But as long as, and often this is what happened, like, sometimes I've got waiters coming and saying, look, I've got this big client, he spent this and this amount of money, can you play this Arabic song or whatever? I'm like, look, like, go in the kitchen, take five bottle.
Yeah.
Like, do a fake show. But at least it won't ruin the mood of the mood of the night, because people know it's a show. It's not, they know it's not gonna last long.
Yeah.
And I'm not look like an idiot. Do you know what I mean? So that's the only thing. But then no, I've learned how to, like, obviously I don't have a laptop, so I've got like, you know, I plug my phone in the
in
the USB port of the mixer, you know?
Yeah.
So I just play like that. I'm like, yeah, I'm just like, I mean, at the end of the day, I've learned how to not being too bothered by it. Then after, you just have to like be like, put your rules to it. You know, sometimes you got PRs that are in a club with their girls, and they're only their PR. They're here to bring people, and you do them like some bottle shows or some fake bottle shows or whatever, and they start choosing the most random song at a very important time of the night. And you're like, nah.
So how do you kind of feel about there's like this kind of the same DJs that play at the same venues? Do you think it's good because there's only a small number of you, or would you like to see new people come in? Or,
well, there is a lot of people that come and go. Mm-hmm. There is a lot. I've seen a lot of people getting their entry ticket to the West End in terms of DJing. And not making it.
Yeah.
So there is more than everyone says and everyone thinks. That people that come and have their go, and then clubs decide. Then I think there is a lot of clubs and a lot of night for a lot of DJ to have their residencies.
Yeah.
But then after that, when a DJ gets his residency, when it's a very good one, he just gotta like, probably going to do everything to keep it, you know?
Definitely.
It's natural and normal. Like, I've been lucky. I've been in Egypt. Now I've had that, the Cirque. I've been doing Cirque Mondays for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And tape for, I think 3 years, something like that. Then I've got all the residencies on the weekend and stuff.
Do you ever get bored? Or is that like those places for you that you never get bored at?
No, I never get bored of it because it's always different. Then you can't, people would tell you, oh yeah, but you can't DJ all the time the same song. So like, there's songs that you're going to have to play every week.
It's just, there's no
doubt about this. But then there's always stuff that you can change, always, a little bit. You don't have to change that. You don't have to play a totally different set. Like, people that say to you this, they're full of shit because you can't. Like, if you go five residencies per week in a West End, it's gonna be hard for you to like work out totally different playlists for the next week.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
For five different nights. So
we got Carter inside as well.
Carter
is it? Yeah.
Yes. No, it's like, so obviously like what you should do is like probably adapt playlists to where you play.
Yeah.
Cause I can't play what I'm playing on a Monday, on a Tuesday, I'd say, but I can't play on a weekend night. There's no way. So you just gotta adapt, and that's, for me, that's the way it doesn't get boring, because every gig is different, really. Every club is different. But then after, you go also the fact of like, you get guests. When you get like a big guest, change the whole night.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get boring, and if it was boring, I wouldn't do it that much. So
we're gonna get onto the meaty topics. Be careful what you say here, okay? In case your residency is being taken. God. Okay, so we'll jump straight in. So, best club in West End you've DJed at?
Yeah, you're throwing me that. Nah, I can't choose.
You can choose.
when you say best club I've DJed?
Yeah, look. Yeah.
It's because they're all as
one for atmosphere, right? One for atmosphere, one for all round everything, and then one for just, I don't know, like lighting and tech. I don't know. Let's just give it like that.
Oh, so lighting and tech is tape from far. What? Nah. The sound in tape is ridiculous.
What's the sound system in tape like? Like, I've never been to tape, so.
Bro, when they reopen, you'll come with me. It's ridiculous.
Okay, fine. The sound I'm already is coming like, in the booth now. All right, cool.
The sound is incredible. It's the
best you ever get deaf like that?
No, I've got earplugs. I always have earplugs.
Okay, okay. But, so, wait, you have earplugs plus your headphones or earphones?
Yeah, and I've got earplugs and headphones. I've had earplugs, like, very quick when I moved to London.
Because I Carter goes had... tape. Like,
where is he? I can't see. Where is he?
Can you not see his comment? Is it like, he actually doesn't know how to work Instagram Live.
Bro, I've,
you don't know how to work Instagram Live,
nah,
man.
Nah, I don't know, man.
You gotta do this more, man. Do a little Instagram Live when you're at tape.
Oh, there. Shit, there's a lot of comments. Fuck.
You're not even looking at it.
Shit, can you read these? Can I read them after? Or...
Yeah, after not after. Now? No, so what happened was, Instagram did this update where you can't read anything from the live afterwards. So you save it and that's it. But before, you could save it and read the comments still. But they've ruined it.
Shit, people are saying stupid stuff.
This is looking like you've just realized what social media was.
I look like
a little
man,
child,
man.
Bro. Like, oh my God, this is...
Oh shit, is it off people,
okay, man? So best club for atmosphere.
Atmosphere, I'll probably say Mad Dogs on a Saturday.
Okay.
Mad Dogs on a Saturday. Mad Dogs on a Saturday is amazing. Mm. It's very different than any other club in West End.
Sam Savage like, in the building as well.
Ooh, big up Sam Savage. No, so, it's very different.
Mm.
And it, no, I probably send overall like Circuit Tape. Probably quite amazing because they're
okay,
just
and
like
then best overall. You gotta give one. You gotta give one.
I probably say Tape.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna say Tape. You just try, in case they see it, you're like they're like okay yeah.
Nah, it's true. Like I'd say to any club like they're normal.
He's a welcome to technology. Like, Sam is literally like teaching a baby about Instagram. Oh my God. So nice. Right, I'm gonna get into this. Someone sent a question, so let's just get into this. You don't even know what this is now. Okay, would I don't know, is that even... Oh, would you like to open a DJ school in London?
I don't think I'll be good at teaching.
You can't work social media, so no. Can you work a laptop? Can you actually work a laptop? Is that why you're on USB?
No, honestly, do you know what? That's not even a joke. I'm rubbish at stuff like that. I'm not good. Stuff like that.
Oh my God.
But no, it's true. Like, no, I think like to teach how to DJ, it's like because what would you teach really?
Mm. Well, you could teach the basics of DJ.
Like, ultimately, like you can teach what how to beat match, how to select a song, how to mix songs together. Or, But then, at the end of the day, it's just, you can't really like because. You can know how. That's why, like, you've got like bedroom DJs. You know, they'd be like the most amazing DJ in terms of technique and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you put them in front of a crowd, it's different. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very very different.
How long did it take you to kind of crowd read in the West End, like to kind of know what they want and what they want to listen to?
Not long. A couple of months, like, but to just get into it, and get adapted to it. Obviously, every club has its different crowd and its different vibes, and you always got to play with these. But then, the more you go, the more you do it, and the more you start to know which client likes these, like, on which night you can do this and that. So it's very interesting, and then you get the artist night where. You got to adapt to the artists. You got to be careful what you play.
Mm-mm-mm.
So it's even more interesting. It's very nice.
So Who's right? Let's just get into this question because I want to actually get into this question. How was the Jamie Foxx night at Tape? So basically, I watched your story. I watched your story and like I remember in the morning I woke up and I was going to work and I watched your story and I was like, this looks sick, right? And then when I see the story of when he followed you, I was like, oh my god, like no way.
The Jamie Foxx night was actually crazy, but it was a series. It wasn't just one night. It was like. Because basically on Sunday it was at Liberty with Giorgio.
Yeah.
And then on the Monday night I'm DJing at Cirque and he pops by. But then he just jumped in a DJ booth.
Mm.
We started like jamming in a DJ booth and that was crazy because everyone rushed into the front of the DJ booth, cameras in your face and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was fun, but that was okay.
What do you mean it was okay?
It was cool.
It's Jamie Foxx.
No, it was cool. And then the night right after that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm DJing and then I turn my head, he's right behind me. I'm like, yo, you again. And he's looking at me, he's like laughing, he's like, oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
And that happens really often with artists because artists die in London for the beginning of the week and they go out on a Monday and they see me and they go out on Tuesday. They're like, what? And that night was different because he went in the DJ booth and then the way Tape is made and he went came in the booth really at peak time.
Yeah.
And that just took off. He just, Carter is commenting. Carter was like him, Carter and me, and he took his, I don't know if, yeah, I think it was his Instagram. He took his Instagram. It was even worse than me to work it out, by the way. And he went on his live and he just put it at the front of the DJ booth at that. And it was just Carter, him and me. And I was DJing Afrobeat and stuff. Because he was like, that's it, let's go. Like, I'm doing the whole night with you, basically.
Mm.
And then, I'm on his right and Carter's on his left. And I see Carter doing something with a phone, but I'm like, that's not Carter's phone. And he gave it back to him.
Yeah.
And then he gave it back to me and he's like, yo, like, put your Instagram. I'm like,
that Carter plugged you. Carter plugged you there.
Yeah, no, it's Carter. It's Carter. Carter that did it. I'm not going to lie. Carter was the man of them. And that was crazy. But on the Thursday, after that, I was at Rain. And I see him walking in Rain. And he's looking at me, he's like, yo, you're following me or something, like. But
he's probably thinking you're the only DJ in London. This guy's running London.
But he didn't came into the booth that night because he had enough probably, but yeah, that was sick. That was sick actually.
Sam goes, how much do you love song requests on a scale of 1 to 10?
I love song requests. Nah, it's peak, but it's peak. But you know what? Sometimes it happened to me a couple of times where the party goes, you don't really know, like the spirit will, oh, you don't know where to go sometimes. Mm. And there's a request that pops up and that sort of save your flow sometimes because you know what? It's a bit of a reset button.
Yeah.
Because you do your request. And then, boom, after that, you can drop whatever you want. Mostly if it's a bit of a random song, like an anthem or Arabic song or whatever, you know that after that, you can just drop a bomb, whatever BPM, whatever type of song, you're cool.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
So because, like, you travel internationally as well and you do a lot of gigs internationally, like, that must help your knowledge of music as well. Like, on different genres and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I've got a French. I'm French. I've got a French nationality, so I know a lot of like French hip hop.
So I'm gonna ask this one as well. Sorry, do you think French music is coming into the like into London, like in UK scene, or do you still think it's?
Oh yeah, a lot. I'm playing so much French music.
Yeah.
Even Sam does like a lot of DJ too. But that was already there like. When I first moved here, a couple of DJ were doing it. But then with like the Jaja song and all of that, That just took it to another level. Like, I had like non-French artists asking me for this song. It was like,
it you know what? That song is like, it's like it was released yesterday. You get me? Like, it's been played for the last 2 years. What's 2018 that came out?
But then listen, when we all started to play in West End,
yeah,
it was already being played for a year in France.
But that's the same as Spanish music, though. That's the same. Like, Spanish music is now coming.
Look now. You see, like, Gunna, Travis Scott doing music with Spanish artists.
But you see, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago in the West End, was Spanish in, like, were you playing Spanish music?
Nah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in the last two, three years, I'm not going to lie.
I hated it.
Mm.
Because same, for me,
I hated it as well, to be honest.
For me, when I thought of Spanish music, I thought of, like, Daddy Yankee, Gasolina, and stuff like that. And for me, that was a no-go.
That's still a tune.
But that's not what I was playing.
Yeah.
But then it's a bit of the same of what happened with the hip-hop. This sort of new wave came in with Bad Bunny and stuff. Like, an artist like Bad Bunny, I love what he does. It's very interesting. So I guess that's why. He just took off because the Spanish music went under a different layer of the hip-hop. Took like some trap beats and with singing Spanish on him. So, but yeah, traveling also, like, I listen a lot of Italian hip hop, and then I've got residencies like in Germany where I go and I DJ some German hip hop there, which is like crazy also there. So it just opens you. But then at the end of the day, most of the people want to hear. It's nice to see how the English hip hop is known all over the world though. That's very interesting.
So, going with your mic skills, do you ever get on a mic? Or do you let Carter do all of that stuff?
If there's Carter, even if there's a good... If the DJ is good at the mic, there's Carter, is going nowhere. Because you can't beat Carter, really. He's the best.
Would you ever want to start doing mic work?
I really, really want to try. Because, obviously, it's hard for me because I'm not... Shush. Dog man, I'm not English speaker. Hang on, I'm not.
It looks like you're talking to a ghost, man.
it's dog man,
you're talking to a ghost.
It's like I'm not like, it's not my first language,
yeah.
So, I like anything, I have to even though I speak pretty well now, it's quite hard. You have to think through what you're gonna say, and when you MC, you can't think through what you're going to say because you have to match like songs and all of that. So I hate my voice. Like when I hear my voice, I want to get out of my body and punch myself in the face.
But it's a lot of work, isn't it? Like to just try and, you know, love your voice and love how you're speaking and everything on the mic as well. It's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a big talent.
But like, see, like Carter.
Yeah.
He's a natural. Like, it's not forcing.
Mm.
It was like that since the beginning. Because basically when I took that first and he was doing it with me. That's when we both started there. And I'd like to get more on the mic. I need to work on that. I'll probably ask Carter to help me.
I think Carter's still in. Bro, I just got a call. Sorry, my bad.
It's your connection, bro. It was
it's not even my connection. I got a call. I had a call. Sorry.
Worse than Jojo.
Jojo's was worse. If anyone wants to watch that, it's on my IGTV. His was worse. So who's been the biggest artist you've DJed for?
Biggest in terms of like numbers and all of that, of what I think is the biggest.
Yeah.
Well, Travis Scott probably, but yeah, I'll say Travis Scott and Drake, really. because you can't really get bigger than these.
Do you ever, like, did you, were you, like, nervous, or were you, like, oh, my God, that's Drake, or that's Travis right next to me?
I do a lot of artists, like, at Tape, obviously. And that's sort of, like, a partnership that we sort of agreed with Tape, like, because they know that I know how to handle all the situation that with artists.
You've got to be humble about it.
Most of the time. But, because I was doing it before moving to London, obviously I was DJing in a club that was having big international guests.
Yeah.
And but most of the time it's very hard to deal with the entourage of artists.
The artists. Yeah.
And it's like everything. Sometimes some artists are very good and adorable. Sometimes they're stupid. Like Travis Scott, when I did it in 2017, it was sick. He was so humble, came in the DJ booth, said, oh, I went to stage. But then I do it with, you can ask Arthur, when we did it twice at Tape last year, it was horrific.
Why? What happened?
Because the crowd, we did it twice as an artist. But yeah. I had it one night. That was probably one of the biggest nights we did. It was Young Thug. But literally, everyone came. When I say everyone, I was DJing and the booth, like the box right behind me, it was Gunna,
yeah,
Migos, three of them, Young Thug, Travis Scott, all on the same table. That was the worst. It was one of the sickest nights. Carter's coming. It was one of the sickest nights, but at the same time, like, when it's like that, when there's all their entourage, when they all be like together like that, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm not gonna say names or whatever, but so many of them like popping pills, like one after the other, drinking lean and stuff, like.
It's not the right scene.
But then again, like,
I don't understand why they do that in like a, if they're like. I don't know, if they're in a club, I don't understand why you do that if you're gonna come to a country like that, you know, it's not your home country and stuff like that. I'd try and be on my best behavior in that sense.
For example, recently we did when Pop Smoke was there, he came twice at Tape. I did it once when he was alone and once when he was with Sheck West. Honestly, the guy was adorable. Him and his crew, they came through the club, say hello to everyone. Like, yeah. Adorable. So you get.
Do you think that's because I don't know, because it's still vice versa on it, because I know there's a lot of DJs that said the younger artists are actually the worst to work with. But is it because like, obviously you've done it with Travis 3-4 years ago compared to the one you did recently?
Yeah, it's like
do you think it's because they've made it better, or like they've got bigger, or?
No, I think it's just. I mean, you have to think that it's when you get in a spotlight like they are, it's a weird. Well, we don't know what sort of word it is, but it's a weird. It must be a weird world to live in. So you start getting this amount of money. If you're really young, it's very weird. Yeah. So, but then after, for example, you can compare to like artists like, I'd say Drake, for example.
Yeah,
he himself is not dickhead at all. But obviously, it's Drake.
That's because he can't be now, though, because he's got that following. He can't be.
But the guy is just like, it's just so big.
Yeah. That
he's just like, the crew he comes with, it just makes the whole situation of the club super tense. Do you know what I mean? But again, he's not, most of, he's him and his friends are cool. Like a guy like Post Malone.
Yeah.
When he released just his first album, I remember doing it at a Cirque. The guy came in, he performed on stage. When he left the stage, I started DJing, and he came right in DJ booth with me. It was like cool. He was chatting, like, he was very nice. And then I wasn't there when he came for the next time. It was I think it was Ike or something. But then when his success went so big that when he came the time after,
yeah.
It was the same thing. He himself is not being like rude or whatever. He's not having an attitude, but he's so big that the security and the crews that's with him just makes the whole situation tense. So that's
why I feel like the security think they're the ones running it. You get me? I've seen some where I'm like, the security or his friends think they're running the whole club or the whole night. You get me? Like, it's they think they've got an attitude, basically. Some of them.
The crowd, their friends, their entourage.
Yeah.
It's very, very often the problem of all these artists.
Yeah.
Many of them is like the people that they come with that are nobodies really often. They're just their friend. They're just being dragged out all along their journeys, really.
Yeah.
These are the people that got the most attitude and that sort of tarnish their own image sometimes.
Yeah.
Which that's what happened with Travis Scott. But then, yeah, at the end of the day, like me, when I'm there, I'm there to do a job.
Obviously, in a lot of these West End clubs, the DJ booth is in front of like the VIP table, right? Do you like that or do you not like that?
Yeah, I like it. I hate clubs when the DJ booth is like 3 meters high or up in a corner or whatever. Like old school club used to be like very high, like some sort of god. Like, I hate this.
Some sort of god.
Yeah, like some sort of weird, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's very, very high or whatever. I don't like this. Because I like being, like, at the middle. That kind of boiler room stuff. I like, because that's the best way to create an atmosphere. And the best example is, look, like, I've got a couple of parties when shit starts to kick off inside a DJ booth with celebrities or something, and that just, like, spreads to the whole clubs, really.
But going back to what we were talking about, so like about the whole kind of, you know, you're saying some of them spread champagne and all of this stuff, like,
yeah, it's like I like the fact of like being at the middle of everyone, but then yeah, it's just like you have to sometimes you just got to tell people, look, like, back it off a little bit. But overall it's quite fun. I would always prefer this than being very far from the crowd, always.
But do you not get a bit distracted, or do you not care? Like, do you just focus on a DJ?
Nah, you want, like, everyone's partying in their own bubble, really. Everyone's with their friends and stuff. I don't really do that. It's good. I like it because, like, for example, like, yeah, like, Circle Tape, like, I get my friends around. Like, they come and say hello. It's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I just don't like being, like, sort of, like, far, like, by yourself in a DJ booth, like. And as I was saying, like, often I did parties where shit started kicking off inside the DJ booth.
Yeah.
And then it's like an energy, you know? People sit here, want to party like that, and the energy spreads all around. The only thing that is, like, sort of annoying is that when there's DJ guests, it's like, I don't know what people are thinking, man.
I don't understand when people, like, try to come in the booth and then they've got drinks in their hand, right? And I'm like,
no, but like,
this equipment...
worse than this, like, I've seen people like ruining like 45 minutes of their night to just try and get in the DJ booth.
What's the point?
Just go and have fun, man. Just relax. Like, can't you see there's already 25 people in DJ booth when you can fit four?
Yeah.
And you are there, like, pushing, trying to get in. Like, relax, man. Just go and have a drink.
Go chill.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's that's jarring, man. But
Carter knows. He said girls are the worst.
I'll never know this. But I guess it's the thing of being in the, I don't know, being in the DJ booth thing. I don't know. I don't care. But
so I did an interview with Scotty B like 3-4 weeks ago, and I asked him, what's his biggest money pull up or tip for playing a song? His was £3,500 in Cirque. Have you ever got anything like that, or have you had any money pull ups?
No, yeah, I have. I get tips often. Because
what's your biggest tip?
I think it was like something like probably like £700 or £800.
That's decent.
But like spread on like a couple of, like, divide by like 3 or 4, do you know what I mean? I spread on like a couple of different requests or whatever.
But there's not really money. Everyone's in the wrong job. 3,500, man. Like, he showed me the video. The guy's
Where, in
stacking.
Dubai?
No, here. And the guy's stacking the money, 50 quid notes. He's stacking the money on the decks.
Fucking hell. When was that, though?
Huh?
When?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I have to
yeah,
ask
that
him.
Wasn't now. That wasn't in
it,
the last
it definitely
3 years.
wasn't. No, it definitely wasn't, like, in the last 2-3 years. But I don't
that
know
was
when.
probably, like, back in 2012, 2013. Yeah, easy. But there was now.
No one's got money
but
like that.
Now, yeah, you got some, but it's different now.
They spend
you,
on the bottles.
I never really, like, had, like, money pull-ups, though. It's more of a, like, oh, like, here's the money, play this song or whatever.
Does Carter get tipped more than you?
I don't know.
Carter, put
him.
It in the comments.
I was telling him.
It was tape.
See, Carter's knows then. Mm. Carter knows. He's on it.
Knows. But 3,500, man, is mad.
That's different.
It's mad.
You know, it's decent, but. Yeah, some just sometimes an annoying request, but if I mean it's to be honest, it happened to me of like refusing money, a couple of times because
yeah,
if you got someone that comes at 1 a.m. with giving you like £20 to play whatever song that will ruin the crowd, I'm like, listen, no, I ain't gonna do it. No, if I that or
is
the
it
money,
is there...
it's more like.
Is there a way you would like to be approached by, like, people requesting?
I don't know. Couldn't tell, really.
Just don't approach. Just approach me.
Yeah, unless it's big money, don't approach. No, I'm joking. But it's just like, yeah, no, sometimes you still need to know, be like, what time to do it. Like, don't come to me at pick time, ask me for a most random song.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to be a no. Unless, again, it's big money, like Scotty, but, yeah.
So, would you want to be in a DJ agency or would you want to be independent?
Well, I'm sort of in an agency. I was more or less in an agency that now doesn't really, really do that much, like, DJing, promotion and stuff that
yeah.
went on other things. But I sort of, like, managed myself through the West End because... Obviously, I've been there enough. It's the same as like guys like Jojo and Charles and all of that. Like, been there enough to know people and to sort of navigate through that by yourself. But I'd like to be with an agency for like probably for more international stuff.
Yeah.
Really, but then in London, there's no point really. But on an international, I you know what I'd like to do that I'm not doing, and I'm that's probably something that I'm gonna look to do after this. It's more like try and do like fashion event,
okay,
on the side, or more like because that's a day like job, and then after I go to a club probably. But I never get booked for stuff like that. It's probably something that I'd like to because it'd be interesting even musically wise to DJ different.
Yeah.
There's some cool hip hop song that probably. You wouldn't get the chance to play in a club, but would fit well on an event like that. That's probably something that I would like to do. But otherwise, yeah, probably an agency like for the international, which is always good to have.
So, would you what's your kind of your plans after quarantine? Like, what's your first kind of steps? Like, obviously, get back into the clubs, but what have you?
I got a lot of projects that are like, not. Related to the music, really.
Mm-hmm.
But musically wise, I can't wait to go and party. Really, to go and DJ and party. That's definitely.
Yeah.
It's gonna be very interesting also to see the music, like what's who's gonna.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say as
what
well.
Songs
like, how do you know what to play?
It's a bit of a risk. It's sort of like we just press the reset button a bit, like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of like, you sort of play a bit what you want now. There's no rules, really, because everything has gone through the window. So, no, you don't, you, everyone lost their sort of skeleton of the party they used to do. Because obviously, so many music came out since March. So,
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting. Also, knowing that we're probably not going to play until, let's say, the end of the year. that changes a lot of things. So yeah, I'm excited. I sort of like listen to music and I'm like, this will pop. Or I'm like, oh, I will play this whether it's popping or not. But it's interesting. It's gonna be very interesting.
Are you free to mix everything you want in London?
Yeah, pretty much. But that again depends on who you are. By who you are, I means like, but the way you've put yourself towards the clubs.
Yeah.
Like, and the way you've like implanted yourself, like.
Mm.
When I go to DJ in clubs, they don't have to tell me, look, you know, there's this or that, you have to play this or that. Never. So then it's a confidence stuff. Do you know what I mean? So they know that I'm not gonna fuck it up. So you can play pretty much wherever you want. I think it's more for me, what I'm being careful of is towards artists. So wherever artist comes in the club, you always have to know what not to play. Like, it's always complicated for that. And it's a little bit more tricky probably with the London scene, which rapper is not, doesn't like this rapper.
Yeah, whatever, so
which
are, have it's you not ever something had to that... lock off a tune?
No.
Because of ISB or something like that?
No, but you know what? Something like, that's the memory that I have is like, I remember having like, so I was DJing with YG at Tape on a Tuesday, right? But on the Monday night, the night before, I was at Cirque and all this crew was there.
Mm.
All this crew. And at that time, the beef with 6ix9ine was very fresh. It wasn't that big, you know? And I had this massive client that was doing bottle shows with 6ix9ine songs.
Yeah.
And I had the whole YG crew, like, walking around, like, to the DJ booth, like, saying, yo, like, stop this. Like, and I'm explaining to them, I'm like, yo, look, it's not me playing this. It's, you know, they're doing a bottle. He's like, I don't care. Like, cut this. I'm like, and then, like, I had Vision, which after I chat to him, and he's actually a cool guy, and he's actually amazing DJ. He's DJ Vision.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know, these people, they're into their stuff, you know, like, they're like, they're serious with that. They're not joking. That's what I'm saying. They're not like,
yeah.
So it was like, it was so weird because after that, I was texting the clothes. I look like, stop this because this is going to end up in a bad way, you know? And then
that's
the night
mad.
After that,
that's mad.
Yeah, that was, it wasn't scary. But it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no. Otherwise, if you just got to like, well, there's a question here.
Yeah, so do you think social media content plays a massive part in securing gigs and residencies? Well, Sean, yeah. Kid Flow don't even post.
Yes, it's yes and no. Yes and no. Because, again, as I said, when you asked me earlier if the West End scene will have new DJs, the West End scene have often new DJ. And they're probably DJs are that probably have a lot of content and all of that, but at the end of the day, creating content is different than DJing in a club.
Yeah.
If you can be amazing at content, right?
But you can't DJ in a club or a crowd.
And then you DJ in a club and it's sort of all right, but then arrive 1 o'clock and you've got requests of bottle show left, right and center. At the same time, there's dancers coming on. You've got to play their show. Then you're going to know what this guy wants. Then you're going to read the crowd at the same time. It gets overwhelming very quick.
Yeah.
And so that's a different thing. But then I do think it's very important to have good content, which I haven't, that's probably, see, you guys asked me the question, what are you going to do after the lockdown? This is what I'm going to do. I need to sort out my content because it's rubbish.
I want to see it. Okay, this is what's going to happen, yeah? The first club night back, I want to see a DJ video from you. Like, a video, like, something to post, bro.
I do post a lot of stuff, but it's more like stories.
Yeah.
I don't have pure DJ content, like real DJ content. Even the videos that I have, when I did a video, I had a guy doing a video for me from ASAP Rocky or Pop Smoke. they're very different than your general DJ video. But that's probably
why don't you post it?
I post them, they're on my feed.
Is it? Oh shit.
Yeah.
My bad.
You haven't scrolled down. Scroll down, you see.
I've probably seen it.
But why do you want me to post right now? Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't posted anything for like 3 months, but why am I gonna post? Do you know what I mean? That's where the content game comes into it. If you got good content, then yeah, you're cool. But again, I'm like, do you know what I mean? I don't know how to use Photoshop and stuff like that. So I need to it's probably like, there'll be new skills to learn. Mm. But yeah.
What's your take on like these clubs closing down in the West End as well? So like, obviously, Drama closed. Are they reopening?
Yeah.
I'm
telling you, it's like, it's a perpetual like rotation. The club will close, but it would reopen and do something else.
Yeah.
Because for so many reasons. Because also people always want to go out. So that's not something that... Yeah, sometimes you get the odd one that will close properly.
Yeah.
But then often another one pops out a couple of months later somewhere else. But then you've got a very big like concentration of club that will never close really, or if they close, they will reopen or something else. But it's true, sometimes you have some that close, but often when they close, they don't close because they don't... I think a club that closed definitely in West End is because something else is being built, or the building is being destroyed or something like that. No, it's not because, oh, the club doesn't work. Because every single club, like a club that tape, it was two other clubs before that there. So it's always been like, it's a rotation. Then after, it depends the way you make it. If you make it well, it works. If you don't, it won't. Yeah.
What was the hardest artist to work with in a DJ booth and to DJ for?
Oh, 100% Travis Scott. 100%.
What was hard about it? Like, was it just like the whole, his
his entourage is like, as I said to you, they're just nobodies. And so they're out there, they're like faffing around, like, oh, the DJ booth needs to be more on the left. Oh, because basically the second night that we did, right after the concert,
yeah,
it was like, we changed the setup at tape, we made a stage, and they had their DJ booth there. And so they had like, the DJ booth moved off like, I'm not going to laugh, like 20 centimetres, like, bro, like...
So 20 centimetres.
Like, honestly, they moved it off, like, 1 inch, like that. Like, what are you doing? Like, there's no point. You know what I mean? It's just, like, they're just there to, like, they're just trying to act like they're busy.
Like, there's something else to do when everything's kind of sorted.
Yeah. But, again, it's weird because the first time I did Travis Scott at Cirque, it was easy. It didn't even come with Chase B, so I didn't have a DJ. I did the songs. I love Chase B. I chatted to him. It was adorable. Amazing DJ. Probably one of the DJs that I look up to the most. But yeah, it's just that sometimes the entourage is just a pain, man. What else was odd? I don't know. ASAP Rocky was cool. No, then often it's like, again, like I sort of know how to handle this situation. So I sort of manage it. I know how to manage it.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes a lot of, and also a lot of artists go, it's just, yeah, depends what they're on the night. If they're fucked up, it's very hard.
They're definitely like, they're definitely taking pills, whatever.
Sometimes it's very hard to handle, just because sometimes they act like diva, sometimes they don't. It's a bit of a lottery, you know?
Does it get a bit overwhelming? Like, when you, like, as you said before, previously, when you had, like, Gunna and all of them lot just doing a madness behind you?
At the end of the day, I don't care. They're just, like, huge. I mean, like, they're human, so... and I don't really care. Starstruck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really get starstruck, like... Like, even like, because it depends, like, if they come, like, on the vibe, like, sort of, they're, like, not bothered about anything, not calculating anyone, then you just do the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if someone like Jamie Foxx come and is super nice, then you just follow this. You just be super nice. And that night really proves, like, the way if an artist and his entourage are nice, it will just make the night way much better.
Yeah.
But sometimes
it's literally what we were saying before, just like the entourage think they're just someone.
It's just like, but it does make a big difference when you got an artist that comes. Everyone's when Pop Smoke was there,
yeah,
all his crew is nice, so that makes all the security feeling a bit more relaxed.
Mm.
That makes all the people around it makes more feel more relaxed, and that makes the general mood of the club nicer. So it's very, and that's sad that sometimes, I don't know why, they just always want to arrive at the club pissed off. Like, some people are always pissed. They come in the club pissed. I'm like, don't go out, man.
I said, don't go out.
Yeah. Pissed off, angry, God. Like, you paid, chill out. I'm not going to stay long. I'll stay an hour or two.
Yeah.
Get your money and leave, you know? But, yeah, and then after you got some artists that are adorable. I remember, like, Juice WRLD was so nice. Like, Trippie Redd was very nice. A$AP Ferg. Like, sometimes you got artists that are not even booked, and they come to see you. They come at the club and come to see you. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
When this happened, that's amazing. And the best, like, when I did French Montana, at Cirque, that was probably one of the biggest nights I've ever done. Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest, because he came out with Baka.
Yeah.
And DJ Carnage. But
yeah.
French Montana was like, nah, I'm not performing on stage. I'm performing in a DJ booth. And I was like, oh God. DJ booth is tiny, like small.
It's like, that DJ booth is tiny.
Like, you fit like four people in it.
Yeah.
Bro, we were 20 in there, on top of each other. I'll send you the videos. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, send me that video. I want to see that,
but,
man.
But the fact is, like, I'm DJing. I'm squashed against the DJ booth. And, like, French Montana is there on me. I've got security guys are pushing. There's Baka. Yeah. There's Carnage. And then the fact is, like, French Montana is performing his song. He finishes. Give the mic to Baka.
Yeah.
I play Baka, Live Up to My Name. That goes mental. And then Carnage comes on.
Yeah.
I play his big tune, and the crowd was like, and that's the example where the whole DJ booth was like a mush pit. And so
do you like that?
But I came out, I had bruises and stuff.
What's that, a bruise?
It was ridiculous. Everything was broken. But the atmosphere that you got from that.
Yeah,
the vibe that you got coming back from this, that's amazing, and that's why, like, when you go a DJ booth at the middle and you get the party going, the vibe that you get from this is insane. That was a good party, and that was crazy. If you scroll down, you see the video.
I'm gonna do that. Where would you like to DJ? Which countries after quarantine? What's your kind of achievements you want
to
do?
I'd love to go to DJ more in New York, definitely.
Okay. Cheers.
That wasn't planned. That's mad.
That wasn't even planned either. That's
crazy.
Bro. We're brothers.
Yeah, I'd say New York, because I love the New York scene. Like, so I love this. Probably outside of London, it's probably my favorite city in the world. Probably the only regret.
I feel like New York is basically like London, though.
Yeah, no, it's very similar.
Yeah,
very similar. But I just love that, and I think that's probably the only regret that I have, like in my life, is that, like, I should have moved to London earlier. Should I left my house before? And if I moved to London before, like 2 years before, I think in between my time in London, I will probably move a year, also in New York, because it's a city that I really really like. So many aspects and so many like things in the city that I really love, but yeah. I think I'll probably say New York. I actually never did Dubai, so probably Dubai.
Bro, how can you? I thought, like, after all of this, I would have thought Dubai you would have done. Yeah, you know?
Well, do you know what? I don't have that many contacts in international DJing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I travel a little bit, but
so you wanna. So that's kind of the main aim for you, is just get those more international stuff.
Yes, I wouldn't call it a main aim. I'd say that it's like, yeah, I'd like to do it. But I might be with my London, because
would you want to start production?
I've done traveling and like it's hardcore, right? Like when you travel nonstop, it's
yeah,
it fucks you up a bit. Like, so sometimes it's nice to just be at the same place and join it there. Production, well, I'm again as we were saying, I've never been to like any like school, engineering school or. Sound engineering school or whatever. Yeah. So, like the first time I've opened Ableton Live, I was like, "Dude, what's this?" Like, I was like, I had no clue of what was going on.
G2 so, Patrick should get us USA gigs.
Oh shit, Patrick's there. G2, jeez, live based crew.
Yeah, nice. Patrick. Yeah. I'm part of this now. Yeah.
Hang on.
Well, you didn't screenshot it.
No. So yeah, I'm working on it, but I don't feel like it's like, I don't think it's something that I would do as like a main goal. Like, I'll probably do it for fun, but I don't like, I haven't put myself this goal of doing, yeah, that's it, that's what I need to do in production. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like I do a couple of edits or whatever, but it's nothing that I get put out. It's just like, I don't have the level of it. Like, I need to work more on it. But yeah, just like, I'm more of a like DJ really. But no, it's important. I respect people that do a lot of production and stuff. It's just like me, I never had the knowledge of it. So it's quite, when you don't, you really don't know what you're doing. It's like, it takes a lot of time basically. It takes a lot of time.
What genre do you prefer DJing to in the clubs and then prefer listening to?
Well, no, in the clubs, like 90% of my sets are hip-hop. The only place I play house still is Mad Dogs on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Which I do my house warm-up. But then mostly gets into the hip-hop. But then I really, really enjoy playing Afrobeat now. And I really enjoy it. But at home I listen totally different music. I will never go home and listen while DJing club.
Yeah.
While I listen, it's way more chill. Like, I love like Frank Ocean, Daniel Caesar, like artists like that. That's
so
more
your house. Your music taste is massive then.
I've lost the hunting, like, a lot of music, so I was really, really onto it. Like, I remember, like, before moving to London, and then I was back home DJing, like, for, like, this place that where people were way older than me. And I was still going to school, so I was going to school and going back home, and then instead of doing my shit for school, I was, like, looking for music, but, like, for hours. Yeah. And that really, really helped like improve my musical knowledge. But I guess it's like musical knowledge. It's like anything in life. It's not like, it's never. You never have it forever. It's just like, if you stop doing it, you lose it. Like anything, like a learning language or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the fact of being in West End is quite. In terms of music selection, it's a bit more. I'll say it's a bit more easier.
Yeah.
Because you pretty much know what you're gonna play, or what you need to look for. It's sort of like stopped me a little bit, but right now I've started back to just really, really digging a lot of stuff. That's why I'm gonna do like a. I think the next thing I'm gonna put out, which is a massive event for me to put out a mix. It's.
I was gonna ask when's the mix coming out?
Bro, I'm not gonna give you a day because
I'm not gonna respect it.
No way.
By the end of the year. By the end of the year.
If I'm not bothered, I'm just gonna put like a Spotify playlist. So
that's a Spotify playlist.
But yeah, I've prepared like a list of like song, which is like cool chill song that I really listen at the moment, and that only like London artists. So that's what I'm gonna do. And then different stuff, but as I said to you at the beginning of the other video, is that I can't just plug stuff and then start playing big club tune because I won't feel it. I won't feel it at all. So what's the point? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you just better of putting your headphones on, play from Spotify. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, cause I'm not gonna play what's on the big hip hop playlist on Spotify. What's the difference? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. What's your kind of take on like how they run the West End clubs? So guest list, tables, girls. If you're only on the, like, if you're a guy, you have to be on a guest list at the right time and blah blah blah. Like, do you not care about it, or do you think it's a bit bad, or do you think they should change it?
I wouldn't say I don't care about it, because even me sometimes it's sort of putting me in bad positions.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can say is that it's hard to speak about it when you're not in the position of a club owner.
Yeah.
Really and truly, because you don't know why a club owner have to deal with, whether it's with the police, whether it's with the council, so many things that they have to deal with. So I can't. I'm not qualified enough to speak about. I know how clubs work in terms of how to make shit work in a club. But this side of it,
do you think
it
should be more free in that set, like freer, like in sense that okay, there should be a guest list, but it's not where other clubs where okay, we're only allowing 50 guys in. You get me?
Sometimes it should. It should be more free. In a more general note, it should.
Yeah.
But then again. And that's a discussion, because I've got my own company in London, which is like I do the DJ underneath, but it's also like a music and event, like nightclub and event, like consulting.
Yeah.
So I can do consulting for nightclubs and stuff. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, I think this one's turned off. Hang on. and I discuss often about this with clubs, you know, but the problem is the owners have to deal with so many other things.
Yeah,
that is very complicated, and the guest list is always like, I mean, at the end of the day, when you go nights, like when there's big artists, I've got people messaging me on my Instagram like that never talked to me in my life, and they're like, oh, can you get me in?
That's
like,
standard, right? That's standard.
I'm like, bro, like, even if I wanted to get some of my family in, I couldn't. Like, this is how busy it is. Because at one point, if everything gets booked, all the table gets booked, and they say, right, we've got X amount of table, and every table is booked with 10 people, then the numbers go up very quickly, you know? So
how does it work with your kind of guest list as a DJ? Like, do you get a guest list, or is it just if the night is not too busy, then they're like, okay, cool, you can bring some people, or is it not like that?
I've never been that DJ that brings up a massive squad at the at the club. Never. Like, my girlfriend doesn't go out anymore. Like, it's just like, we don't, like, so if I've got, sometimes I've got the odd couple of friends that comes, which works. But even then, I have to tell them, look, come at this time. Like, even me being DJ, I can't just have text the door and be right, I've got 10 guys coming at one and a half. Because even if I'm a DJ, it's gonna be a no. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're spending a lot of money. But this is how clubs are. Like, if people that say, oh, it shouldn't be like that, it's unfair. But then if it was your club,
if it was your club, you want to run, you want to get the most money that you can get.
That you got X amount of money to pay, X amount of money to make, then you operate it in a way you make the most money.
Okay, so with that, I totally agree. But what I don't agree with is the bouncers acting like they run the place. That's what I don't agree with.
Bro.
So that's like, I don't care if the club's got to make 30K, make your 30K. I don't care. I'm not even trying to, like, I don't have 30K, so I don't really care, you know. But like, if it's the bouncers who think they run the whole clubbing event and the whole night, and then they start running up the door money because they see a queue. That's what I don't like.
Because
it happened
that
to me. I went to Rain, bro. I went to Rain in January, and the promoter told me to be there at 11:30. I got there at 11:45. Right, 5 minutes late, got there. Promoter's like, bro, the bouncers are asking for 150 quid per person. No way, I'm not spending 150 quid per person.
That's bad, but that's like more. It's like internal problem that clubs should be dealing with their own stuff, really. But then that's like that goes. That's that probably goes even like, I would say like this club. There's probably stuff that happens even inside the club. That probably like security people that will get paid. But then that's like at the end of the day, it's like it's just that people could say the same thing about me accepting a tip to DJ a song.
Yeah.
When at the beginning I'm here to just play music. So so these are more internal problems. But in general, it's the story of the West End club door that is hard. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's militant. Literally,
it's very hard. That bro, when I moved here, I was booked as a DJ. I got turned off at the door. Bro, I'm the DJ. I had to explain to me. I had to explain that. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
and that's what I don't understand as well. Like, bouncers telling the DJ's booked, and the bouncer saying you can't come in. Like, there's too many people, but they were booked to DJ.
But it's at the end of the day, it's like for the guest list problem and all of that, the boys and girls and stuff like that, it's a very tricky stuff, and like I've just seen it from far, really.
I've seen it
from what owners and stuff say without really getting deep into it, but it does seem very hard for them to. You have to think about this. And what people don't do often is that if it was your club, then you would there's a lot of chance that you will run it the same way.
Yeah.
So it's a very touchy subject. It's true that those are hard, but then at the end of the day,
that's what happens. Basically.
Yeah, it's like basically, it's like any way you turn it, it's just it looks bad, really. But then at the end of the day, it's just like there's not that many other way. Like,
no, so I mean, once you actually get in, then it's good. Like once you get in, then it's good. Like, but it's
true.
The queuing and it's the arguing and all of that.
I've don't even count how many times I've texted people from clubs saying like, tell your door to be a bit more nice.
Yeah.
Like, to be less like hard, but it's just like it's a lottery. Sometimes they'll be arrived, sometimes they'll be pissed. But even me being DJ, sometimes I gotta tell friends, look, like this is hard, come very early or come with me, da 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 da. Like it gets tricky, but then it's always been like that. I haven't known it a different way. I haven't seen it turn like that. Bro, and when I wasn't living in London, I was like, when I was coming once a month, do you know how many times I go like, say no at Cirque or places like that? I had trainers on.
Yeah, don't even get me started with the whole dress code situation. Bro, don't even get me started with the dress code.
For me, that's something that should evolve because that is something that's changed. For me now, the odd one is the guy that goes in a club with loafers and a shirt.
It's
more odd than a guy who goes with a hoodie and a pair of trainers.
Yeah.
Really and truly, if you think about it.
I really don't want to wear £600 shoes on my feet in a club. I'd rather wear like Asics.
It's not even like, it's like the whole spirit of it, the whole spirit of saying like that you should be in a shirt in a club. Like what's,
The other side of this as well is when the girls get turned down. That's the other side of the whole problem as well. Like when I've seen promoters look a girl up and down and say you're not getting in. This is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like
it's horrible.
I don't get me wrong. Like London clubbing, I enjoy. Right, like DJing must be sick to DJ there. But this D side of things is just mad.
It definitely is. But then. At the same time, like it's one of the most tricky stuff in Western clubs is the doors. We all know this.
Yeah.
But you can't. It's very hard to like people that judge it straight away, like oh this is not acceptable. It are people that don't put themselves in like not the door people shoes, but the people that own the club, which are. Often cool person.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you've got to make a club work, like you've got to try and make it work the best way, you know.
Definitely.
And yeah, there is methods that are weird. I don't know what term I could use, but
so that gave up on going out.
I see.
It gets to a point where you're like, do we even go out? You know, get me?
Yeah, I would totally understand that, 100%.
I've seen DJs like yourself as well, like DJ in West End and stuff like that. Like even Scotty B was saying, like, bro, I never go clubbing there. Like it's just it's such a hassle.
It's very rare. If I was DJing like one night a week, yeah, I'd probably go out sometimes. But if you are in the West End, like I do 4 or 5 nights a week, then the rest of the time I don't really want to go out.
You don't even want to see a club. You don't even want to hear the same music.
So it's like, but it's true. I do understand. And then different clubs have different doors. And then when you go, the customers are like, oh, I don't go to X club because their door is like that and I don't like that person. And vice versa, you said. Some customers are, oh, I don't go to this club, but I go to that one. Like, so it's
the girls don't even want to leave your bed.
You don't even imagine.
Trust me.
Hella delivery.
You've had that before, right? Where you're like, you know them like really cold Decembers, yeah, and like you're DJing and you're just it's warm in your home and you're just chilling.
It's the worst. But then once you get there, you're fun, so it's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
But the worst are like the nights of, like, as I said to you, like when you go big artists, like, you know the night we did with Shake West and Pop Smoke.
Yeah,
bro, I think I turned on my phone at 5 o'clock, turn it off, airplane mode, flew the corner of the room. It was that people that, you know, the request. I don't have that many followers. I've got like 3,000, 4,000 followers.
Yeah.
My request, I had 100 requests. And it went from 20 to 100 in a day.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? Like, people that I never spoke to, like, oh, get me in. Okay.
To get me in. See, like, I wouldn't even ask you that. I'd know you'd take me anyway, innit?
Like, of course. No, but like, oh, get me in. Like, someone that you click on their profile, it's private and stuff. Never seen them before in my life. But like, what did they expect? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, is that how it works?
You just gotta block them, innit? It's like, you know. Has that ever, like, have you had to change, like, your circle of friends because of this? Or have they all kind of stayed the same? Have they all been cool with it? Because you're hanging out with all these artists and everything.
Because most of my friends here are working in a nice scene, really.
Okay.
Good amount of my friends are working in a nice scene in London. So, no, I never really had that. Never really had that. I'm cool with everyone. Everyone knows what I do. So, like, most of the people that, all my friends know that. They're not stupid, like they would never say
so definitely
they know what's going on, they know what's going down when it's an eye like that. That if I tell them come with me because you can't wait at the door, they will come with me or they will not come. But no, you don't, like, I've never had them. I made a lot of friends in London clubs, lot of friends, because nightclubs are amazing to make friends, because I just find it like that. But no, never really had them. Never argued by anyone about the door or whatever. If you argue with someone,
if you argue with something on the door, they ain't letting you in. Basically, I've learned that the hard way.
No, it's just like, it's not even that. It's like if someone gets an attitude with me because I didn't get them in when there was this celebrity or this rapper and stuff, and like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm working. I'm not like going there. Like, I'm having fun, but at the same time, I'm working. Like,
definitely. But bro, I really appreciate this talk. It's been good, man. I'm gonna take a quick break before Charles comes.
It was sick. What time you got Charles on? Five.
Five. Yeah.
This is gonna be sick,
bro. Like, thank you. I really appreciate your time, though. It's been a very, very.
Oh, thank you. It was sick. Honestly, like, what you do is sick, and I really enjoyed watching all of them. So.
Thank you, bro. We'll keep in touch, and then definitely.
100%.
When we're out, I'll definitely come and see you as well. I need to come see you, DJ. I'm definitely gonna come.
Cool. Yeah, when all of this starts back, like, you come with me, man.
Thank you, bro. Like, really appreciate it. Hope you're safe, though. Hope you and your family are good.
Yeah, all good, man. All good.
Love,
Thank you
bro.
very much.
Take care, yeah?
Take care. See you. Take care. Bye.